Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Our preacher this morning is Evangelist Mike Pelletier. He has spoken at camp many times. He's spoken here. We've had him preach in the evenings, and I just kind of felt like I'll give him a shot here this morning. He's a good preacher in his own rights. In fact, I've heard it said that he was a model preacher. And you know what a model is, don't you? That is a small imitation of the real thing. With that great introduction, Mike, come on. I actually thought it'd go over a little bigger than that. They're wondering now. Here we go.
Thank you, brother. I think, thank you, Pastor.
All right, let's take our Bibles and let's turn to Revelation chapter 20. And I'd like, if you don't mind, stand together out of respect for God's Word. You've been standing and sitting. I sure appreciate that. And glad to be here with you at the church. Revelation 20, and we'll begin reading at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The pit is prepared. The fire is made ready. The flames do now rage and glow. The glittering sword is wet and held over them. O sinner, consider the fearful danger you are in. These are the words of Jonathan Edwards, that preacher who preached that sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And of course, you know, the background is that God used that for the Great Awakening. Now, a lot of people today don't like the kind of preaching that they did back then. They think that we ought to just preach on love and all of those things. And we do need to preach on God so loved the world. But if we are going to have a reviving and keep our hearts aflame like they were kept 100 years ago, we're going to have to keep looking at the subjects they would preach on regularly. And they would preach on hell and keep it before people who were believers so that they kept their vision to go after the unbelievers. And so we need to hear these kind of messages. So I'm going to look at the subject of hell today. And I want to look at it from this perspective, the names of hell. Now, one time I was looking through the Bible and I noticed that the Bible used many different names. For instance, the name Tophet, another name Everlasting Punishment, Outer Darkness is another one. And then there's Eternal Damnation and Judgment and all of these words along with the word hell. And I wondered, why is it that God gave it so many different names? And as I look at it, I believe that each name God put in there to help us see a little aspect of hell we may not get from any other name. And so he put it there to keep people from going there so they know how bad it is. And we know how bad it is so that we keep our burden to make sure we are going after the unbelievers and not quitting. So we're going to look at this subject, the names of hell. What is hell like? The names describe it very well. Now, the first name that we're going to look at is an Old Testament name. And it's 32 times in our Bible, and it's translated as it should be, the word hell, H-E-L-L. And it comes from the Hebrew word sheol. And it means sometimes the grave, other times eternal damnation, and you can usually tell what it means by its context. Now, there are many things that we learn about hell from this word. One, it is a place of fire, Deuteronomy 32:22. A place of sorrow, Psalm 18:5. But there are many other words that tell us that hell is fire, but what I'm trying to do is gain an aspect of hell we might not get from any other name. And what we can get from the word sheol is the location of hell. It is down. Now, many verses in the scripture point this out, but I'll just have us quickly look at Amos chapter 9 and verse 2. Amos 9 and verse 2. It says, though they dig into hell, then shall mine hand take them. though they climb up into heaven, thence will I bring them down. Now, from this verse, you get the idea if you climb high enough, you could climb into heaven. But you also hear that if you dig deeply enough, you could dig into hell. And that would be digging, of course, in the earth. Now, most preachers have preached that hell is probably in the center of the earth, and I do believe that that is likely where it is. This among many other verses, and it's quite interesting if you study the materials that make up the earth, the core of the earth is extremely hot. Now, the core of the earth has two parts to it. There's the outer core and then the inner core. The outer core is 1,800 miles below where I just stomped my foot. So if you go 1,800 miles down, you've got the outer core. Now, it's 1,400 miles thick, and then you have the inner core, which is 800 miles thick. And the deeper you get, the hotter it gets. It starts off as 3,200 degrees, and in the core and the center of it, it gets up to 13,000 degrees. Now, the core of the earth is 13 and a half times the density of water, but you could move around in it. And can you imagine being in that at 13,000 degrees, but burning and burning, but never dying? Now, when my mother would take us to the graveyard to see where my father was buried, she used to tell us, kids, don't step on the tombstones. It's disrespectful for the dead. And to this day, I always try to walk over the graves where the person might be buried, over the tombs. But if hell is in the center of the earth, where I suspect it is, and the Bible supports that it is, then every step that I take, and every step that we take, though we don't want to go insane over it, but we are taking it over the souls of people that are down below us, and they are burning and up to 13,000 degree temperatures. Think of it. Now, first we have the word Sheol. Now, the second word that I want to look at is an Old Testament word. Turn to Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 33, and it is the word Tophet, T-O-P-H-E-T. Isaiah 30 and verse 33. For Tophet is ordained of old. Yea, for the king it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. So it's deep, it's fire, it's got much wood, and God breathes on it the breath of brimstone. Now, we know these things from other passages, but what we cannot get from any other passage, from other word, Tophet, is the background of the word Tophet. Now, the word Tophet is taken from a time when the Israelites worshipped a false god named Molech, and they would do human sacrifices. They would take a baby and burn the baby alive as a sacrifice, a horrible thing. They would take a metal, brass statue of a Tophet, and it was a statue of Molech, and Molech would be seated like this, but it would be hollow, and his hands would be extended, and they put fire in the back of it, and it would go through the hollow statue, and holes would be the end of the fingers, eyes, nose, and mouth. So a ball of fire would be on the lap of the Tophet, and God chose this word to describe hell. Now, how did that play out? When they would start their ceremonies, an idolatrous priest would begin to beat drums. And then he'd work people up sort of like you would in a rock and roll concert, and he'd pick up the pace. And when he'd pick it up, then a woman who had designated her baby for the sacrifice would walk forward and lay her baby in the lap of the Tophet. And then it would begin to burn, and they would continue to beat drums and continue to beat them to drown out the screams of the babies. A horrible thing. Now, when you consider that God chose the word Tophet, I don't think it was an accident. It may shed a little bit of light on what hell will be like. I believe that it's very clear that there will be screams in hell. He lifted up his eyes and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And that's Luke chapter 16. Now, obviously, when people are burning, there will be screaming, and they'll be screaming in hell, and the screams are getting drowned out at the Tophet with the pounding sounds. So there'll be screams and screams, not just fire, but that will add to people's anxiety, and we've got to keep them out of hell. Now, then there is probably then thus pounding sounds. Now, a friend of mine is a geologist, and he said, what you say is accurate. There likely are pounding sounds. You can't prove it because we're not down there. But the earth is moving at 68,000 miles per hour, 19 miles per second, and the center of the earth is liquid metal. And if there's any room in there, it will form waves as it moves at the same pace, and it will lap over. And with the metal waves lapping over like the ocean makes a sound when the waves lap, there would be pounding sounds. And he says, the earth is also made of rock and water. And as the rock is constantly shifting, it makes sound. And water travels rapidly through water. Sound travels rapidly through water and could go to the core of the earth. So he says, you're not making it up. It's not unrealistic to think that there could be horrible pounding sounds and screeching in hell. Now, if that is true, I'm going to do something a little bit awkward. But if you think it's awkward for you, you ought to be the evangelist. Now, don't get up and run out when I do this, but just imagine, I won't do it long, being in 13,000 degree temperatures, and as you're burning, you're hearing pounding sounds, and they add to your anxiety. Now, here's the awkward part. Don't get out and run. Imagine on top of that, hearing screams. Imagine hearing, and the screams get louder as more people die and they go to hell. Now, I know that that is awkward, but I'm not thinking in the bit that that would be exaggerating the sounds of hell. Now, there is another word. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 9, and this is a New Testament word, and it is the word Gehenna, G-E-N-E-H-A-A, and Gehenna is translated as it should be, the word hell, and Mark 9 and verse 43. Now, first you have Sheol, 1,800 miles below where I stomp my foot. You have the core of the earth. Hell is likely in the core of the earth. You have Tophet, pounding sounds and screams that add to your anxiety. Then the word Gehenna, G-E-H-E-N-N-A. Mark 9 and verse 43. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. Translated from Gehenna. Into the fire that never shall be quenched. Verse 45. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter a halt into life than having two feet to be cast into Gehenna, fire, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Now the flames are never quenched. They engulf the whole body. Thus why? Better to lose your hand than to have one suffering in hell with it. Better to lose your foot, because it goes from the hand to the foot, so not suffering in hell with that foot. Better to lose an eye than having the flames that reach even the eyeballs in hell than be suffering because of the eyeballs in hell. But here's what we know from other passages. But what can we learn from Gehenna when Jesus is preaching this? I will just say this. He is preaching there are things that you can do with your eyes that are bad enough they could put you in hell. Your hands, your feet. Now, if a person is a Christian, he will not go to hell, thank God. But just remember this, even as believers, as we think about the unsaved and the sins that they're doing, that we could be still doing some things that are bad enough that if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, you'd go to hell for that. And so take the sin as seriously as God takes it, and he takes it as seriously that men would burn in hell for those kinds of sins. So repent, get right with God, and let's get up and get going again. Now, the eyes. Hell would be so painful that plucking your eye out would be painless compared to going to hell. Jesus says, if your right hand offend thee, taking a chainsaw and cutting your hand off and throwing it away so you couldn't steal would be painless comparing to going and burning in hell. Now, if you are here and you're not saved, there's something that is keeping you from getting saved. Now, if it's your eye, get rid of it. Not literally, but whatever sin that might be that would put you in hell. If it's your foot and you're walking into the places of ill repute, you'd be better to lose your foot than to die and go to hell because you won't stop going to those places. And Jesus is saying, whatever it is that'll put you in hell, get rid of it. I don't want you to go there. But we have this word Gehenna, Valley of Hinnom. Where does that word come from? Back in 2 Kings 23, King Josiah became king, and he said, we're not going to worship Molech, we're going to worship Jehovah. And he turned that valley into a garbage dump. Now, instead of worshiping Molech, they would worship God, and in that garbage dump, every day they'd take their garbage out. Now, as they would take their garbage to the dump, it would breed worms. It would smell horrible. They would also not only throw bodies, garbage, but they would throw bodies of executed criminals. Now, back then, if somebody got executed, King Josiah said, take his body and throw it in the fire in Gehenna. And they kept the flames burning all the time, burning the garbage, but they would burn bodies of dead criminals. Now, it's not an accident that God used this word to describe hell, and it is simply symbolizing this. The only people that would ever be burnt in Gehenna would be criminals, and God is reminding us that people who die without Jesus are considered criminals worthy by death by lake of fire. Now, sometimes we look at people and we say they're such nice people, and we think surely they're so good that they shouldn't burn in hell. Now, I understand that there are a lot of unsaved people that are a lot nicer than some Christians. How many have ever met an unsaved person that's nicer than a Christian? I know that there are many unsaved people that have a lot of good morals compared to me. And maybe I even wish I could be more like them. But I will say this. I was on my way to hell, and I deserved to be on my way to hell. You were on your way to hell, and you deserved to be on your way to hell. And every person who is good on this earth is without Jesus, is on the way to hell, and they deserve to be on the way to hell. And that is because God is that holy that one sin makes us worthy of death by lake of fire. And it is a reminder to us that God is not doing the wrong thing. When he chose the word Gehenna, it is to remind us that God is doing the right thing, and that also anybody who is not saved is still guilty and deemed worthy of execution by lake of fire. Now take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 6, Revelation chapter 9. And in Revelation 9, it gives us two words that describe the place hell. First we have Sheol, then we have Tophet, then we have Gehenna, and now we have two words, and that is the pit, and then the bottomless pit. All right, Revelation 9 and verse 1. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. There's the first word, bottomless, and the second word, pit. Now the first word, bottomless, is the word A-B-Y-S-S. And while we look at these words, we want to remember, God does not want anybody in hell. Amen? We do not want anybody in hell. God so loved the world, not God so hated the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? So that's the heart, that's the desire of God. But God put this in the Bible so that we would understand we don't want to go to that place, and we don't want to stop keeping others from going there. We want to stay at it and try to win people to Christ. Now the first word, the bottomless abyss, the word bottomless is the word abyss, and it means boundless. Meaning you could go up, you could go down, you could go over, and you could go over, and you never get out. It's translated bottomless properly and accurately, of course. Now, how many of you have ever had a nightmare when you were growing up that you were falling and falling and falling? Anybody have that? Now, I used to have a lot of nightmares. One nightmare I had, there was this beautiful woman. I was 12 years old, and she was 26. But we were madly in love. And anyway, I would go to the street corner and I was going to meet her there, and she would pull up in a black limousine and she would get out and she'd wave at me. Then I would wave at her. And then she'd start walking toward me, and we were going to spend the day together just walking around town and having kind of a date. I'm 12, she's 26, but this is what I had in my mind. But anyway, she would get out, start walking toward me, and the driver was a bad guy. So he'd open up the trunk and he'd pull out a shovel and he'd walk up behind her, and I knew what he was going to do. He was going to kill her with that shovel. So I start running as fast as I can, but it's all slow motion, and I go, no, no, no. And I get there just in time for the shovel to come down, hit her on the head. She'd fall on the ground. She'd die. And I need a psychiatrist. Another horrible nightmare that I had is that I would walk toward this big double car garage, and there'd be a cement sidewalk. And as I'm walking, I knew what would happen. And sometimes it would happen 6 feet away, some two, and sometimes just about a foot away. All of a sudden, this giant 6 foot tall white bunny would jump out and grab me. I do need a psychiatrist.
But the worst nightmare that I ever had was the one that I was falling and falling and falling and falling. Now, if you put this together, not only are people burning in likely up to 13,000 degree temperatures, but they are falling, and they are falling, and they are falling, and they are burning. And somebody says, well, if hell is bottomless, then they'd eventually fall into China. Well, I don't know how God's going to do it, but God said that it is bottomless, and we want to be taking it seriously, and we do not want people to go there. Now, as the core of the earth goes around and around and around and around and around, as the speed it moves, that would give the sensation, if you were moving around and around, of falling and falling and falling. And I don't know how God's going to do it, but it is bottomless. Now, then take your Bibles, and I want you to look at what comes out of the pit. Now, notice verse 3, there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which were did not have the seal of God in their foreheads. To them it was given that they should not kill them, they're not going to kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Now, verse 7, the shapes of the locusts were like horses prepared unto battles, and their heads were as crowns of gold, and their faces were as faces of men. They had hair as the hair of a woman, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sounds of their wings were as the sounds of chariots of many horses. And they had tails like a scorpion, and there were wings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Now, in the tribulation period, God opens up the bottomless pit and it vomits up these demonic locusts. They have the face of a man, hair like a woman, teeth like a lion, tail like a scorpion, an iron chest, and they latch onto people and they sting them. And the pain is the pain of a scorpion sting. And if they do come out of the bottomless pit during the tribulation period, then doesn't that make sense that they have to be in the bottomless pit in order to come out of the bottomless pit? Now, when people go to hell that you and I know, they are burning, they are falling, they are hearing screams, they are hearing pounding sounds, and they definitely have to deal with the demonic beasts. And the demonic beasts add to their torment by stinging them, and the pain is the pain of a scorpion sting. Now, unless we get this in our hearts, we will never be the soul winners that we could be if we get this in our hearts. Now, let's take our Bibles, and I want you to turn back here to where we started. And I want you to look at Revelation chapter 20. And in Revelation 20, which we read, you have the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, the Great White Throne Judgment is a judgment that is going to be, and most of you are filled with and understand the doctrine, that that is for the unsaved people. Now, we as believers are going to be judged. But our judgment is the judgment seat of Christ. Our judgment will not determine if we get to heaven or if we will get to hell, but it will determine whether we were faithful or unfaithful, whether we will hear well done and receive blessing and reward, or whether we will hear thou wicked and slothful servant, and when we will experience the terror of the Lord, whatever that might be. Now, we will go to heaven, but we do not want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ having been a disobedient Christian. But then there is the Great White Throne Judgment, which we just read about here and is in this passage. Only unsaved people will go there. Why? This is to determine the degree of punishment men will face in the final hell, the lake of fire. Now, how many of you knew that there are two hells? There are two hells. I want you to notice verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the what? So hell is cast into the lake of fire. That must mean hell and the lake of fire are two different places, and they are. Verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, the first hell is the place that we read about, and it's where people go right now who don't have Jesus, and we've read about it in Luke 16. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, and you know that whole story. You can see, you can hear, you can feel, you can taste, you can smell. I do personally believe that some of these things we looked at, including the bottomless pit, they could be referring to the lake of fire. But I do think there's evidence to think that that is referring to the present hell. But all I know about is this. There are definitely two hells, and the first hell is where people go right now after the great white throne judgment. Then they will go to the lake of fire, and that will be the place of eternal punishment. And the purpose of the great white throne, the books will be opened, and every sin that an unsaved man ever did will be read. Every curse word, read. Every pornography picture will be read. Every disobedience to a parent will be brought up. And every rejection of Jesus will be brought up. And every one of those rejections and every one of those sins has a purpose. And the purpose is they will add to a person's torment in the final hell, the lake of fire. And every sin that an unsaved person does, and every time they reject Jesus, it adds to their torment in the eternal lake of fire. Now, if you are somebody who is not saved, you need to be saved. Amen. Romans 5 and verse 2 says, treasureth up wrath against the day of wrath. If I can treasure up gold, I'm collecting more. If I treasure up baseball cards, I'm collecting more baseball cards. If I treasure up wrath, I'm treasuring and getting more wrath. And hell will be hotter for some people than others. And I wonder, if you are not a saved man or woman here, how hot is your hell already? Now, there are preachers that will take this as being mean. But I am telling you, Jesus was not mean. When Jesus preached, he's the one who said, if your right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Now, I doubt he was going, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out of your foot, cut it off. He was saying, this place is so bad. I've seen this place. And if you're on your way to hell, whatever it would be that would get you to hell, get rid of it. Because I've seen this place. If your eye is going to put you there, get rid of it. If your sin will put you there, leave it behind. I do not want you to go here. And if it's your friends wouldn't understand or your parents wouldn't understand, don't let anything keep you from being saved. Years ago, I saw a gospel track, and I close with this. I don't remember the words, but I do remember a picture. I was very young, and the artist had drawn this long, windy road, and maybe you've seen it. On both sides of it were the flames of hell. On the end were the flames of hell. And I can remember people walking down that road, and some looked like they were smiling, some looked like they were sad, some looked like they didn't know where they were going, just kind of following the crowd. And as they go down this long, windy road, the road of life, there was a cliff on both sides, and some of them were dropping off the side before they got to the end, a picture of premature death. And you see them falling as they fell, and they were going down to the flames of hell. Now, some you would see were already in hell, and you could see them popping up in their hands like this, expressing anguish and pain, and their eyes showing anger or pain and suffering. And you knew that they were burning in hell and in torment. And then they go down the road, and one at a time, one would drop off the end. Some smiling, next step, drop off the end of life. Some laughing, drop off into the flames of hell. And one at a time, dropping off into the flames of hell. Now, I do not remember what he said, but I do remember how I felt when I saw that track. I wanted to get in front of that, stand at the end of that path, and go, stop! Now, I couldn't do that in real life. I can. And so I'm doing all I can, and I hope you're doing all you can, and we've got to keep doing all that we can with God's help to tell people stop, because they have no idea the terrible danger that they are in. Let's keep at it.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast, when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you good news from from the Good Book